Rabbi Goldstein, you're on mute.
Gosh, oh boy. Thank you for the heads up. So welcome everyone to Neshuva, reflections about our return to shul. Even a year into Zoom, right? We still have Zoom issues. So Baruch Hashem, we're starting to come back to in person, because me personally, with my technology challenges, a year of practice with this has still only gotten me so far. We're very privileged and excited to have two panelists with us this evening. Rabbi Reuven Gross, the Mar D'Aser of Shaarei Tzedek Mishkan Yair, right here down the block from me in West Rogers Park, and Rabbi Daniel Fox, Mar D'Aser of Darchin on Glenbrook, both of whom also teach the Limud Kodesh in the Yadokan Jewish Academy. And you know, really one indication of how crazy COVID is that I moved here in August, but Rabbi Gross, I actually do not think we've met yet.
I think we're meeting now.
This is the first time. Yeah. Yes. And Rabbi Fox, like we go back to Teaneck, but like not so much. Like we've spoken in the parking lot a few times, but it's been a difficult year, a surreal year. And particularly this evening, we're going to focus on what that means for shul. As Baruch Hashem, we begin to get the opportunity to come back. We're going to reflect on what it's meant to be away from shul, what it's meant to be distant in shul, what it means to come back. Before we hear from our panelists, though, I just wanted to share a brief Tzvar Torah, something that I've been thinking about the last really week and a half as I'm getting used to the reality of walking into shul without having a mask on. Something that means for me, you know, the one place in the Chumash where masking is featured very prominently is Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Parshas Kisisa, after the Chet HaEgel and after the second Luchos, when Moshe comes back. And remember, the people see that he has this light coming out of him, and the Torah says that he put on a mask. And normally we think of this as just, you know, the people were the people afraid of Moshe. Moshe wears this mask. If you look at the psukim very carefully, the Torah tells us that Moshe, after he would speak with Hashem, after he'd learn Mar Torah, he then would speak with the people. And the pasuk says that it was only after Moshe spoke with the people that he'd put his mask on. Moshe would be unmasked while speaking with the Ribono Shel Olam. He then would be unmasked while speaking with the people. And then the Torah says, "Vaychal Moshe midaber itam vayitin al panav masrei." Put the mask back on after he finished speaking with the people, which is very difficult to understand, because Rashi says the reason why Moshe is wearing a mask in the first place is that Moshe's face has the light of the Shekhinah. The light of the Shekhinah, that's something that we look forward to enjoying in Olam Haba. That's not something that is just there to casually be enjoyed. So Rashi says the reason why Moshe wore a mask was because Bnei Yisrael should not be benefiting from the beautiful light of the Shekhinah that's coming out of his face. And then the question is, well, then why on earth is Moshe taking the mask off when he's coming to teach them Torah? Dafka, the time when he comes to talk to them, he should have to put the mask back on. So the Netziv explains, it's a beautiful and a very powerful explanation. The Netziv says we have to read the pasuk very carefully. The pasuk says, Vaychal Moshe l'daber midaber itam. Moshe was speaking with them. We're so used to Hashem telling Moshe, daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to them. Why here is it speaking with them? Well, the Netziv explains what's going on here. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the oral Torah. Moshe is now at Har Sinai. Hashem tells him some Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe then brings Klal Yisrael together and tells them what he's learned. And says the Netziv, when it comes to the world of Torah Shebaal Peh, that is not something that can be done without human-to-human relationships. There are things that have to be face-to-face. There have to be moments where the relationship and the human contact is necessary. Torah Shebaal Peh is one of those moments, and therefore it was so important that Moshe had to take the mask off so that Klal Yisrael could see him, connect with him, be with him in those moments. It was not an opportunity for Zoom. It was not an opportunity for long distance speaking. There had to be an actual engagement. So, you know, we've had such challenges on so many levels, loved ones, illness, economic problems. But I think we're like starting to realize now, heard someone mentioned, you know, how weird it is to be coming back to normal in a way. It's like the weirdness of normality. And the what that means is we like reconnect and recall what it means, the importance of those face-to-face relationships and those connections, like shaking hands, the guy next to me in shul on Shabbos, which is like something new. And the Netziv is laying it all out there for us that we've missed out on an awful lot. Baruch Hashem, something I think from my perspective, at least to reflect on as we come together. But, as we move to think about shul, so I am not the expert because I'm just a lay person. I sit in the back of the shul where I haven't really known anybody since I moved to Chicago. So as we talked to Rabbi Fox and Rabbi Gross, maybe Rabbi Gross will just start with you. And I'll ask, in a lot of ways, it's like you have like the memory you have a dream and like you wake up, and the first moment when you wake up, those memories are sharp, but they start to fade. So I'll ask Rabbi Gross, as we begin to really come back in person, let's think back to what it was like for you when shul first closed. Any memories that stick out from that point?
Yeah, that's first of all, Yisr Koach on Yizar Torah, and thank you for inviting me to share some thoughts with you on this. And I have to tell you, I feel this is a little bit like, for me, like a therapy session, because you've been through so much. And as a Rav, the responsibilities have been really unusual and heavy over the last year or 14 or 15 months. So I think it's great to talk about it and to talk about how we're going to re-enter over here. When you talk about that question, though, there are a lot of memories, I'll admit, that are fuzzy, but not that one, of what it meant to close the shul. That I would say that was probably, and I'm sure this is true for any Rav who's been leading a shul over this time period, the most painful thing that I've had to do in the 29 years that I've served as Rav of our shul, without question, to shutter the doors of the shul. When I grew up, I grew up in Borough Park. The notion of a shul door being locked, that you needed a code to get in to the shul was absurd. Shuls were meant to be open. Shuls are meant to be welcoming. Unfortunately, the reality of the world has become such that we have to have security, and we have our guards on Shabbos, and we have a code to get into the shul, but with the Hebrew code to the code to be able to decipher what the code is, so only the right people know how to get in. But the shul, it has to be accessible. And for us to lock the shul and to say, no, you can't come to shul, that was something that really just went against everything that comes naturally to us. And yet, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted of us. And that's something we had to tell ourselves, and what we had to share with our members. It's kind of like a Rav has to know, and everybody has to know, there's a time to keep Shabbos, and there's a time when it's Mechal Shabbos for Pekuach Nefesh. And if Pekuach Nefesh requires you to Mechal Shabbos, then that's your mitzvah. The same Torah that tells you to not drive on Shabbos tells you that if there's an emergency, you have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. That's the way it is. So the same Torah that tells us we're supposed to have shuls open under those circumstances that we were facing at that time, that we were facing then, told us, the Torah is telling us we have to close the shuls for the safety of our people. So as painful as it was in a way, and like using the word weird, it was a weird opportunity for us to follow a halacha that normally we never would have to follow. That this is a situation where Hashem wants us to close the shul, and that becomes our avodah under these circumstances.
Rabbi Fox, I need to absorb that honestly. But Rabbi Fox, what do you have to add? What memories stick out for you?
Yeah, firstly, I reiterate thank you, Rabbi Goldstein, and the YU call for arranging this and for all that you do for our community. Birshas, Rabbi Gross. And I'll also just note the irony, as I've mentioned a couple times throughout this process, of meeting together to discuss coming back to shul on Zoom, which kind of, is emphasize highlights the strangeness of this whole thing, that on one hand we're back in shul, on the other hand we're still very much on Zoom, and things aren't totally the way they used to be. Yeah, I remember when I think it was a Sunday morning after Minyan, there was a meeting on Sunday morning, and we decided that the shul had to be closed. I think it helped a little bit, thinking back, because many of the shuls in New York and New Jersey and Florida, I think, had closed a few days or a week or so before us. So we kind of knew it was coming. I remember more of a shock when I heard like the first shul in New York or in Teaneck closed, and it was like unbelievable. But it was a little bit, you know, so that broke it in for us a little bit.
So that was the Shabbos after Purim?
Right, I think the Shabbos after Purim, some of the shuls in Teaneck and other places had closed. We still had, I think we canceled Kiddush that week, but we still had shul. And then it was, I think the next day that we decided that that shul had to be closed too. And I remember going around shul, like, even though I have the key to shul, and I probably came back sometime that week because it was empty, so I was able to come back and check in on things and take something that I needed. But I still remember, like, gathering my towels and tefillin, grabbing a couple svarim. I went around shul, like, making sure the sitters were on their shelves. Why should a sitter be, like, left out or even opened? God forbid, if it's going to be there for a few days or weeks or ended up being months. It was just this weird, weird, bizarre, confusing, sad moment of just preparing the shul to be empty and to be unused. And the other thing that was weird is we didn't know how long it was going to be. We didn't know if it was going to be a few days or a few weeks or many months. It ended up being a few months, but that was part of the confusion of all of this, is we really didn't know at that time. And I remember, I think maybe it was Rezev Cohn. Somebody said on one of the calls that we had as Rabbanim, mentioned that, you know, the shul is really the only part of a Jewish community that really never closes or is never supposed to close. Even a yeshiva, you know, closes for a few weeks during the summer, or even if it doesn't close, most people leave. Kollels generally empty out at some point for a few days or for a few weeks. The mikvah is even closed a couple nights a year. A shul is supposed to be open every single day. I mean, it's the Karban Tamid. That's what the Gemara says, that our davening is like the Karban Tamid every single morning. We bring the Karban every morning and every afternoon, no matter what. A regular weekday, Shabbos, Yontif, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av. And the fact that this institution that is supposed to represent the constancy of Jewish communal life and service was being closed was something that was unbelievable. And it caused me at the time to realize how much shul and minyan is a part of our life and a presence. You know, we go every day and sort of get used to it, but sometimes it takes that moment of closing to realize, like, this is a huge part of my and our and to a certain extent everybody's life that was taken away. It was bizarre.
And me thinking personally, just the reality, like, those first few Shabbosim of davening in my living room in our two-bedroom small apartment in New York City at the time. It was something I had not done since I was 4 or 5 years old, to not go to shul for Shabbos. It just absolutely, absolutely surreal on so many levels. In fact, actually, I was wondering, could you talk about those rabbinic calls at the beginning?
What did it look like? Yeah, it's a long time ago. I don't remember all the details, but there was, there was something in a way, you know, like heartwarming or uniting about the fact that we had these calls with, I mean, you couldn't see who was there because they were calls, but knowing that there were, I think, dozens, tens of rabbis from around the Chicagoland area making these huge decisions together. You know, realizing that even though we're on the brink of something that was, you know, had never happened before in our lifetimes, but at least we were in it together. And even when there were different opinions on exactly how to do things and where to draw the line and if to close and when to close or how to reopen. But there was something comforting about the fact that we were all struggling with the same issues together. And many of us, you know, and trying to make decisions in ways that were similar to each other. You know, I guess like many people, I think, experienced during the pandemic, even through separating, sometimes there's something unifying about that we're all going through something together. And as Rabbanim, that was true, you know, from the very beginning. Of course, there were differences of opinion. There are always in everything. And every shul is different. Shuls are different sizes and have different populations and different ways of approaching all matters, and especially this. But, you know, that's healthy part of being a broad community as well.
Yeah. So thinking about the, you know, moving off of the initial closure to think about the things that we've missed. So I was wondering, you know, both as Rabbanim And also, you know, like you both wear two hats because you're both rabbanim of communities. You're also members of communities. You're also in the communities that you serve. So what do we think are things that as rabbanim that you missed most during the time when shul was closed? And what do we feel were things that in the community that really, really hit people being apart from each other?
Am I speaking?
We could, whoever wants to jump in first. Yeah. Trying to make it a round table discussion. We're bumping up against the limitations of Zoom.
Round table. Yeah. I'm doing my best up here. I'll tell you just again, full disclosure. I'm at a wedding right now. And they gave me in the hotel a lounge room where I can do this. And I'm sitting at a round table. So you know that I'm sitting at a small round table over here, but with my computer on the round table. But anyway, look, you know, each stage had its own pain and its own challenge. The most difficult time was when the shul was actually shuttered, was closed, and shiur were not taking place, and learning was not taking place. And like you mentioned, tefillah b'tzibur was not taking place. I remember writing to the members of my shul, and it sounds a little bit corny, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, that I told them I visited the Sefer Torah and I kissed them. I just felt so bad for the Sefer Torah sitting in the Aron by themselves and not being used. It was just painful. The thought itself was painful. And I wanted to let the Sefer Torah know we haven't forgotten about you and we'll be back. Shavuos came along. Now, by the time Shavuos came along, I think we were davening in shul, but we were not having learning in shul. It was very, very limited. Everything was very limited. And, you know, davening was not regular davening. It was a shorter davening and leaving out the singing, leaving out the whole spirit and the learning. So it forced us actually to become creative and to see what can we do. And I think this is our challenge. And I'm sure Rabbi Fox will agree with me that our challenge was how do we keep a sense of community, a shul community, a shul family, when we're not together at all. And, you know, it's davening. It's having the kiddush after davening. That's when we bond with each other. And now we're not even seeing each other. So we tried to create new ways for the moment to deal with that. So for example, Shavuos, we normally have a sugya. We started this a few years ago. One sugya, one topic that most, the vast majority of the men in the shul joined together to learn together for Chavrusa, the night of Shavuos. And then we have some other shiurim as well for men and for women. Can you see me? Because my lights just went out because you need a motion. It's a motion sensor over here, and I've been sitting here too quietly. But I think you can see. Can you see me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Fine. Okay. So what we did was we came up with the Shari Tzedek Steig Pack. Okay, where we put together shopping bags filled with a sugya to learn if you can in your home, other shiurim, other divrei Torah, popcorn and nash to keep you up going through the night. And members of shul went around and dropped them off by every single family in shul. So they should have a Shari Tzedek Mishkan Yair experience to the degree possible in shul that night. And so these are different things. The Zoom shiurim, of course, they became a big part of, we discovered Zoom. And what a bracha that was. And there's no question in my mind that when Hashem allowed Zoom to come to this world, this is what he had in mind. There was a cute line by one of the Rosh Hashivim at Israel who said, instead of Gam, is it Gam Zulatova, he said Gam Zoom Latova. That Zoom, you know, as a plan on the Chazal to say that everything is for the good, Zoom is for the good. Gam Zoom Latova was really a lifesaver. And at first we davened Meirv. We sent that announcement. We're davening Meirv at a certain time, davening Mincha at a certain time. Let's all daven at the same time. And I gave a 5-minute Var Halacha. And all the Rabbanah tried doing things like this to keep people together. So this was, you know, what went on during the actual lockdown. Then it was exciting to be able to come back when we were able to start davening in shul, but it made a point of saying, we're not back. This is not the shul. The shul is not the shul. At first, there were no women in shul. Women are part of the shul as well. There were no children in shul. What kind of shul is that does not have the entire family as part of it? So I said, we're davening in the shul, but we're not. But this is not the shul. The shul has not reopened yet. That's what I kept on emphasizing all those months. We're davening here, but the shul has not reopened because we're missing the heart and the soul of our davening was to a great deal missing. Davening with a minion is davening with a minion, and that should not be underestimated, but something was sorely missing during those months. So we went through those stages, and we kept on looking forward and waiting for the opportunity, waiting for the moment when we could take those steps forward. Each step forward was really a gift. If each step forward was precious as we tried to hold on to each other, whatever we could. But as we look forward and anticipated being able to, you know, let me just mention one more thing. I don't want to dominate tonight, but even when we came back to shul and we dominated each other, you talked about the mask. What a horrible thing it is for everyone to have to wear masks. Because what we miss when we wear masks is we miss each other's smiles. And what a tragedy that is not to be able to smile at each other, not to be able to see the expressions on each other's faces, the happiness when we see each other. So that was extremely painful. But as painful as that was, that's how exciting it was for us now to be able to take off our masks. So I think each step will have its own memory and its own pain and its own sweetness and its own novelty. And you know, I think all in all, we'll be able to look at this and say this was an experience we never want to repeat, but it's an experience that we all learn from and gain from in one way or another.
Should I jump in?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly, as usual, agree with everything that Rabbi Gross said. And, you know, first and foremost, on the most basic level, closing the shul and not having tefillah b'tzibur, avelim not being able to say kaddish, missing laning and parshios, not having shiurim, daf yomi and shul, singing together. So all of those are, like, you know, goes without saying. The foundations of what a shul is and really what a community is we're missing. I'll add a couple of things in particular that I found challenging or that I think was challenging in general. You know, everyone struggled with the pandemic and lockdown and shuls being closed in different ways. Everyone has different situations in their lives and in their homes. I'm fully aware that that my home, thank God, Baruch Hashem, is not quiet and never got lonely. In fact, I missed sometimes just getting out to shul for some quiet. But some people have the opposite. Some people who have empty nests or live alone or live quieter lives. And shul, I mean, going out in general, and shul is an integral part of their connecting to other people in social ways, through davening, through kiddushes. And I mean, loneliness was a huge challenge and a real tsara, real difficulty, suffering for some people. Maybe it still is a little bit for some people, but certainly during those first few months and during the past year in general, that was something that we certainly, I think, I'm sure all rabbis tried to think of and to, you know, make phone calls and send emails and even like do drive-bys and wave and talk through the window, but it's not the same for anybody. But for some people, that was a real struggle and something that was very sad and should be very sad for all of us. Rabbi Gross mentioned kids. That was one of the hardest things, again, not just for my own kids, but for the kids of a shul. I mean, we, thank God, our shul, you know, we had a bunch of new babies right before the pandemic and the beginning of the pandemic, kids who people in the community are just meeting as they're already, you know, 6 months or a year old. We had kids who missed a whole year of coming to shul and just being many months of coming to shul, missed, you know, groups and learning songs and seeing the Torah and standing next to their father or their mother. Because even when we reopened shul, we didn't allow kids to come for a while unless they can stand next to their mother or father with their mask on. And understandably so, most kids didn't come back for a long time. That was, it was terrible. That was tragic. I mean, to overstate it. But for me, that was, I think that was one of the saddest and most difficult parts.
Again, to add to that, what you mentioned before, the loneliness, singles, all right? Singles who live alone and really rely on those Shabbos meals that they get invited to other people to really help make their Shabbos. And singles refers to young singles and refers to older singles, it refers to elderly singles. The loneliness is unbelievable. And I remember calling one of a young lady who was in our shul who lived at the time, Shabbos had gotten married since then, but she was living at the time alone in an apartment. And I called her up after Pesach and after the first days of Pesach. And as soon as I called her, she just burst out crying. Or maybe it was after Shabbos, I don't remember. But it just burst out crying. It broke my heart. And I'll tell you, this is a schatzai nimaskar yom. I'm going to a little bit of a confession over here, that before it became really entirely safe, one of the things that my wife and I kind of made a decision to let up on is to invite singles to our Shabbos table. We have a 13-foot-long Shabbos table. And we had, my wife and I sat at one end, And we had guests who sat at the other end. They were roommates or whatever. So they were kind of pot. And my wife made two of everything. So, and they had their own challahs and they made their own kiddush. Somebody drank from each other. Nobody touched anybody else's stuff. And I wore gloves when I cut the challah. I mean, it got a little crazy. But because there were people who were alone for months. And that's just, you know, something that's very difficult for those of us who have someone else in our lives living with us to really imagine what that loneliness is like.
That's a great point. I think actually that first Shabbos that we closed in New York at the time, we were supposed to have a bunch of singles over for a meal that Shabbos.
Right.
And right. Yeah.
So, and somebody tell them you're on your own, you know?
All of a sudden.
Right.
So as we Baruch Hashem, as we begin to look forward, I think it's Reb Gross you mentioned earlier. So, you know, we'd love to hear what you both think about how has this been an opportunity? You know, going forward, what have we learned about shul that will be helpful for our kehilos in the future? Things that we may not have known or may not have fully appreciated that really can help us enhance our experience as everyone comes back. All right, Fox, we got to start with you this time.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, at a most basic level, what you even mentioned in the question is just appreciating what we, you know, what we had and what we have. Very often in life, you don't appreciate something that you have until it's gone, until you miss it. So things like just having a minion every morning and laning, things that, you know, maybe didn't always excite us as much as they should, especially when things become routine, take it for granted and get used to it. But I think anybody who was away from shul for a few months and then came back and like heard Kriyas HaTorah or heard the Haftorah, the parts that maybe sometimes people don't pay such close attention to, it was exciting. And we know that same excitement doesn't last. You know, the way of human nature is that we get used to things again, but I think it's important that we try to remember that feeling and keep it with us and remind ourselves. You know, I've been trying, like, as we, right, Gross mentioned Shavuos. So on Shavuos, just to like reflect back to what was last Shavuos and what is this Shavuos? Don't forget what last Shavuos was. Last Shavuos, our shul wasn't open yet. So we didn't have minyan, we didn't have tefillah b'tzibur, we didn't have learning. We also sent DNG Steig packets. I don't think we called it that, but we should have. But anyway, it was a similar type of thing with some food, but we were all on our own. I didn't make it the whole night in my house. I don't know if anyone else did. It was a whole different experience and to appreciate. Like this Shavuos, we had learning in shul all night. We had minyan. We read the Aseres HaDibros. So that's one thing to hold on to, that appreciation, the gratitude for having what we always had, but for the first time was missing. I think also on an individual level, I experienced this a bit, and I heard this a lot more from other people. Some people were, you know, forced to do things in a different way or in a new way for the first time. I mean, I had a few people who asked me, like, I've never led a Pesach Seder before because we've always gone on a Pesach program or gotten together with other people. You know, can you help me, you know, go over how to lead a Pesach Seder or learning on Shavuos night? People who usually just come and just listen to the shiur, which is amazing, but now wanted to have to take some ownership for, if I'm going to learn, it's going to be me making it happen and me doing some learning or making sure that we daven at the right time and that we, you know, dress on the right way on Shabbos. Maybe usually we put on Shabbos clothes because we're going to shul, but to make sure that we also put on big day Shabbos, even when we, for those times when we were home. So I think it forced people to, you know, think about certain things that we had always done. But to take a little more ownership because, you know, you didn't have to put on Shabbos clothes. You didn't have to daven at the right time because that's when shul was. You would do it if that's what you wanted to do. And the last thing I would say is Rabbi Gross mentioned before also, that it challenged all of us to think of new ways, to think of, I know for me personally, I took the opportunity to write a little bit more. I would send out for a bunch of months when there was no shul, and even for a few months after, when a lot of people weren't coming back, I would send out a drasha, a Dvar Torah every week, which takes time, at least for me. It takes more time when you have to write something, but it was a way to make sure that people have some connection to shul and to the drasha and to the parsha on Shabbos, even when shul was closed. And maybe for better or for worse, I kind of stopped that now that we're back in shul. But you know, there are certain things, I think we've all had certain things that we've stopped and sort of gone back, and certain things that we've kept, different types of programs and chesed opportunities. So sometimes when you get forced into, you know, thinking a little out of the box or thinking more creatively, you realize, you know, something like now we have a DNG chesed group where people, you know, chat with each other and share when they're going to different store, pick things up for people or make deliveries. We should have had that before a pandemic. Why can't we do chesed and help each other out even before now became necessary because people weren't going to stores. But that's something that has continued, not as regularly and not as urgently, but hopefully it's something that will last, you know, forever.
Beautiful.
Very gross.
First of all, I love what you said, Rabbi Fox, about getting dressed for Shabbos. And to recognize that the reason why he gets dressed for Shabbos is for Shabbos, Lechvod Shabbos, and not Lechvod Shul. And I think people doing that made themselves aware of that, that it's really all about Shabbos, and that's very beautiful. There's so many thoughts that come to my mind. I think I'm going to start by, as you mentioned before, I'm not just a Rav Shul, but I also wear the hat as a member of the community, what it was like to experience certain things and become creative and learn from it and perhaps hold on to it. I think, and as well as people that I interact with, I think one of the things that people discovered is the joy of family and spending time with their children, perhaps, which, you know, sometimes, like, you know, you don't quite appreciate it or you don't have the time for it. And suddenly you find the time for it. And a lot has been written about this, that children in some ways gained during lockdown because they finally got their parents' attention when their parents are busy running helter-skelter there trying to keep up with the challenges of life. And maybe one of the things that parents will do now more than they did before is to make sure to carve out quality family time because they've learned how wonderful it is and how critically important it is. In my own case, my children are adults, but I did have two single children at home. And in some ways, there was something incredibly beautiful that was going on. I have two sons at both Yeshiva Bachurim. One learns at Tells Yeshiva and one learns in Lakewood Yeshiva. So once I had Lakewood upstairs and I had Tells in my basement, they were on their phones learning all the time. The Yeshiva set up these phone systems so everybody should be able to learn with the Chavrusas and interact with the Rosh Chibur and so on. It was really an incredible thing to experience. And then davening on Shabbos, there were the three of us, but we got together and we davened together and we sang the Chadodi together. And I will tell you that those Friday nights are something that I will always cherish the memory of that. And I don't know exactly what I'll do with it, but it certainly made me appreciate something that I didn't have before. But in general, there are things, you know, you mentioned Zoom. You know, we will still continue to take advantage of Zoom as much as we will try to also encourage people to come into shul for the shiurim. Appreciation, you mentioned, as Rabbi Fox mentioned, the appreciation for the things that we didn't have at the time. Should make us think about how beautiful shul is and to recognize the important role that shul plays in our lives. And I have to tell you that I don't know if I fully appreciated the role that shul plays in our lives in so many different ways, because you do it all, but you don't think about it. You know, because somehow shul is a place to daven. But then when it's taken away, you realize it's not just your place to daven, but it's also your place to learn. It's not just your place to learn, but it's also a place for your kids to have their first experiences as far as shul is concerned. It's not just a place for your kids to have experience, but it's a place where you can get together at Kiddush after davening and bond with each other and reconnect and on and on and on. And so I think that that was taken away from us, we began to realize how much is missing in our lives. And I hope that we will all take those memories with us and as we come back to shul, to say how refreshing it is. How refreshing it is to have, you know, many years ago, my daughter was a child. She came with a Dvar Torah about Dayenu. And the Dvar Torah she gave was about Dayenu. You know, he lists all the specific things that Hashem did for us. That there's a world of a difference between saying you ate at somebody's home and you say, thank you for the delicious meal, versus thank you, the salad was delicious and the fish was delicious and the chol was delicious. It's a whole, when you go into detail. So now I think I would like us to all to hold on to those thank yous. Thank you for this piece of the shul, for that piece of the shul, and for you meaning the person next to me, the person sitting next to me. It's so nice to have somebody sitting next to me in shul, and so nice to have someone to say good Shabbos to. So I think that will give us a better appreciation of each other, and certainly better tolerance of each other, because when we're in isolation, even the people who kind of annoy us, we'd be happy to see them just to have some company, not to be in solitary confinement. So maybe to be a little more generous, a little more forgiving, and a little more accepting of the people whom we may otherwise not have been so excited about, and to cherish those associations as well.
I would add, if I can add, that maybe it's going to seem a little backwards, because this is a get together about coming back to shul, and the importance and beauty of gathering in shul. But I think one thing I learned, and I hope other people also appreciated during the time when shul was closed, was that we saw that, you know, shul and being part of a tzibur, being part of a community, is not limited to being inside the walls of a shul. Obviously, that's the best place to do it, and everyone should be in shul as often as they can and come back to shul. But even when the shul was closed, like Rabbi Gross did, and we did something similar, where we actually would daven for the months when it was closed, we would daven together on Zoom. It wasn't a minyan, but at least we would be able to, you know, share Dvar Torah and see each other daven and just, you know, feel like we were getting together. And people took walks on Shabbos more than ever before, and we're visiting each other through the window, and we had shiurim on Zoom. And I think it was, you know, reassuring or comforting to see that it certainly is rooted in shul. And of course, that wouldn't happen without, you know, years of building up a community and a tzibur and shul, and that is the ideal way to do it. But to see like the power of a base knesses and of being part of a tzibur is that even in that crazy time, which, you know, God willing, Mr. Shem will never happen again, but when shul was closed and it was, you know, the situation of b'di'evan, we were missing so much, but we were still a tzibur in a different way. And that's something that's that I think was very powerful.
And I'll just throw in one reflection that I have, which is my experience with tefillah b'tzibur that I had, where my davening personally, when we first started davening on our own. So in some ways, I kind of liked it. You know, I could daven at my own pace. I was in my own space. I didn't have, you know, everyone has this experience with the chazan who schleps on more than they like or sings a tune that, so I didn't have to worry about any of that. You know, I could focus on what I wanted to, but as time kind of went on, the novelty eroded very quickly. It began to fade, and realizing coming back that there's so much to be said for davening as a community and Kaddish and Kedusha and the singing and just being with people as we daven together is something that I've learned about myself, my own tefillah. There's really is a reason why tefillah is supposed to be b'tzibur, and I think that I personally appreciate that now in a way I had not pre-pandemic. It's getting late, so I want to ask a couple more questions. One just on the practical side. We're still like early, but what are we thinking in terms of, will davening look different in any way? Will shul be different in any way going forward? Is it just going to be a situation of like, we were off the bicycle, now you never forget a bike, so you get back on the bike and it's going to be the exact same? Or do we think that there are going to be certain ways where things will look different? Right, Gosling, we'll start with you. What do you think?
It's a great question, and I've been struggling with it because I think it would be a tragedy if it just was, you know, just go back to the way things were before. They have to be better. They have to be different. Something like this has to be a life-altering experience. And as far as shul is concerned, it has to be completely different. I mean, I'll start with one, not in shul, but out of shul kind of thing. And this relates to actually what Rav Fox said, and maybe I'll be your inspiration to keep on writing. Because I'm not great at, I mean, I can write, but I don't oftentimes find the time to write. So what I've been doing during COVID was that I've been giving my drushos by Zoom for people who are not, the first one we were on lockdown, even after we opened up, for people not at shul. And so in recent months, I've been doing it in Moshe Shabbos, it's getting late. And for me, that's a great thing because at least there's a record of my drasha on Zoom. And it's something I really would like to continue because there are people who don't make it to shul. I don't think it will keep anybody out of shul, but I don't think anybody's going to say, oh, I can hear the drasha Motze Shabbos, so I'm not going to bother coming to shul. I'm not really too concerned about that. But there are people, young mothers, or whatever, there are different reasons why people can't make it to shul. And to keep that going so that people can access it afterwards, you know, even if they're not there live, but the recording is available afterwards. Okay, that's
Are you? Do you think you're going to do it with shiurim also?
There's one shiur. I have a shiur for women that I give Monday nights that I find in particular for women. It's hard to get out at night, and the shiur has really grown because it's on Zoom. So I am keeping that on Zoom and I'm recording it. But the shiurim there in shul, I really want to encourage people to come to shul to hear shiur. I have a gemara shiur that I give on Shabbos that I switched to Sunday nights on Zoom during COVID. And now, as a few weeks ago, we were able to reintroduce it on Shabbos. And a number of people remarked, we didn't realize what we were missing. You know, you think you're doing it on Zoom And Zoom is the answer to everything. It's just like being there. It's not just like being there. We're on Zoom now, and it's great, but I think it would be a different experience if we're all together in the same room. And people remarked to that effect. So I you know, it's kind of a tough line to determine which side you're going to fall on. Will Zoom encourage people not to come and then not have the experience, or will Zoom open it up to more people? So I think that has to be determined on a share-by-share basis. I've been struggling, and I don't have the answer for it yet, even though this Shabbos is our official reopening. We're having a special reopening Shabbos this week. But I've been toying the idea that something concrete should be changed or introduced into whatever it is that we're doing that will be able to say, this is what we did. This is what we started when we came back from COVID. So I'm not going to tell you what we're considering, because different things that are churning in my mind. But I'm strong with that, because I would like something concrete to be our monument to the COVID experience, a positive monument to the COVID experience. But even putting that aside, you know, Rabbi Goldstein, what you said earlier, that you kind of, you know, at the beginning enjoyed davening alone. That's the scariest thing for a Rav to hear, and we did hear it from people saying, I don't know which tefillos they were saying. This is the first time. Oh, I remember it was Rosh Chodesh. Someone said to me, this is the first time I said all the words of Baruch Hinashi. I never said Baruch Hinashi my whole life before, and I finally got all the words of Baruch Hinashi. So I think those are good things, but not therefore I'm not saying Chas V'Shalom not come to Shul anymore. We have to realize the energy, and I'll, you know, maybe I'll have an opportunity to talk about that later tonight. But yeah. but Shul, you know, Shul is where we daven together, and the davening has to be a better davening. As good as it was may have been before, it has to be better. The appreciation that we have has to somehow inspire us to keep things on a higher level. Whatever it is that we do, it can be the same, but not the same. You know, the words are the same, the davening is the same, but at the same time, it could be better. The kavanah could be better, the intensity could be better, the saying all the words could be better, things could be, we could take a little more time perhaps. You know, imagine if every shul were to add 5 minutes to the davening, to give time to say Baruch Shemei, for example, V'Yibin Tzoha. Everybody sings V'Yibin Tzoha, and the next thing you know, they're off to Shema Yisrael. What happened to Baruch Shemei? And I would encourage everybody, if you don't know Baruch Shemei, it's one of the most beautiful tefillos we have in davening. Look at the English translation. It's beautiful, it's touching, it's moving. So those are some of the things that I'm going to be encouraging in my own shul, is to try to hold on to the appreciation and the additional intensity that hopefully we will come back to shul with.
Yeah, I agree with Rabbi Gross once again. Although I would add that I think the
get
only thing...
Get along well in school also. I just want to point that out. Yeah.
that's true. The only thing I would add, the one thing I would disagree is that the only thing scarier than someone in your shul saying they enjoyed davening at home was, as a rabbi, a little part of you enjoying davening at home. Cause I had that experience at the beginning too, where of course I was sad and distraught, that shul was closed. But like Rabbi Goldstein said, there was a little bit something nice about going at my own pace and davening with my kids and, you know, even just the feeling of the house. And I had a certain spot and that I would daven, a certain sitter that I would use, and like my house felt a little bit like a shul, and a, you know, so there was something nice about that. I agree with the second part of what Rabbi Goldstein said too, that did wear off, you know, somewhat quickly, and I, you know, began craving every part of shul again. And certainly when I returned to shul and realized how much I had missed and how much greater davening is in shul in so many ways, in every way. But there was a little piece of that as well. Yeah, I mean, when we first came back to shul and davening was very different. I mean, again, every shul handled it differently, but we had no singing for a little while, then only a little bit of singing for a little while. We were saying Pesukei Zimra B'Yechidus. You know, the person who had the Baal Koreh was getting all the Aliyos, and slowly, step by step, you know, we peeled back the layers until we were back to, I guess, normal. And while on one hand, I certainly agree that this is something that's so unusual and life-altering and once in a lifetime, that there has to be something to market and something that changed us each, you know, individually and communally and as a shul, there was something amazingly beautiful of returning back to normal. I remember a couple of people would, you know, sort of joke or half joke, half serious when we were able to like somehow get Shabbos davening down to an hour or whatever we did it in when we skipped stuff at the very beginning. Like, oh, who said that we could, and no one ever told me that we can daven Shabbos in an hour or that we can daven Rosh Hashanah in 2.5 hours or whatever we did. Crazy. But we, you know, skipping all the piyutim and skipping other parts and moving through quickly and without singing. And there was a part of me that was nervous, like, oh my gosh, are we ever going to be able to return back to normal? Even though, of course, the goal is not just to return back to normal. But when we did, or as we do, and it felt so, in a way, normal, it felt also so great to be able to return back to normal. And it's almost like that was a memory of something that happened, but a new appreciation for what we have in davening and the songs that we are able to sing, and even just being able to, in a comfortable way, take a couple hours to daven on a Shabbos morning without feeling like we have to run. There is something that also is a change. Again, a change that won't last automatically on its own over time, because it's a change in attitude and a feeling, and those tend to wane over time. But I think even the return back to normal after such an unusual time is something that was very impactful. But also, like I mentioned before, besides just the davening, you know, every person in every community in shul changed in certain ways, whether it was, you know, the chesed or like the girls mentioned, the writing or the recording shirim. There was so much that we learned, and, you know, some of it will have come and gone, and some of it hopefully will stay. That'll be our job as not just as rabbis, but as everybody, to decide what we, you know, what we want to take with us. But also in terms of attitude, but practically, like, you know, as an example, we mentioned before being concerned for people who might live on their own or might have been more lonely during times like a lockdown and when shul was closed. So that is something that we should all be thinking about long after, you know, this is over, because even when people are back in shul, that doesn't mean that there's no lonely people or that there's no people struggling in all kinds of different ways. And hopefully something like this that sort of highlights certain challenges that people have will make all of us more conscious of each other's needs and the importance of community and connection, even when things go back to, you know, as they go back to quote unquote normal. But it'll hopefully, you know, as individuals, we'll be somewhat changed from it, each in our own way.
Beautiful. So the last question, and then we'll let everyone go, which maybe is the most important question, which is, what do we think is the most important message, the single most important message for our community as we ramp up our return to shul, and also as we encourage those who have been more hesitant for various reasons to return to shul? One most important message we want to give. We'll start with Rabbi Fox, and then we'll give Rabbi Gross the last word.
One. Oh gosh, I'm not good at picking one.
It could be a multifaceted message.
Yeah. One A, B, C, and D. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll try to keep it down to a couple. But I mean, firstly, just I think gratitude, hakar satov, to you know, people suffer terribly during the pandemic. People lost their lives and many terrible things. But hakar satov that we got through it, and for everything that we have, for each other, for community, for Zoom, for friends, for colleagues, for davening, for kiddush, you know, just to really focus and appreciate, like Rabbi Gross said, dayenu, on each little thing that we have. And to realize that, especially shul, I was thinking about it today, but shul is really, I mentioned something similar before, but this is a little bit different, that shul is a place for everybody, every single Jewish person, young, old, man, woman, no matter what. I mean, we don't have many, you know, not, you know, yeshivas, schools, batei medrash, the mikvah, the other important institutions in the Jewish community often are, like, by definition, for a certain group of people. And a shul is for everybody. People might have different roles in different places in shul, but shul is for young and old, kids, adults, no matter what. And that was part of the shock of the shul being closed. But anybody who feels like, you know, should I come back to shul, or how important is it, or maybe I can daven at home? Shul is not just about davening with a minyan, although that might be the foundation of it. Shul is a place where every single Jew can and must come for everything in their life. For davening, for life cycle events, for community, for chesed, shul is supposed to be and is the center of a Jewish community. And I would add lastly that one thing I learned, and one thing I hope that we'll all take from this, is that is the power of a shul and of a tzibur, that being connected, certainly I can't imagine what I've never known in my life, but I can't imagine what it would be like if someone wasn't deeply connected to a shul and a tzibur to go through this. You know, without friends and without companionship and without Zoom shiurim and without leadership, that would be, to me, that would be unimaginable. We should realize the power of a shul, that we really can, you know, we can stick together through anything, and we've gotten through a worldwide pandemic. And, you know, Mirat Hashem, that should be the worst and last terrible thing that we have to go through. But whatever Hashem decides to throw our way, the power of being part of a tzibur, which is ideally fulfilled by coming to shul and being in the walls of the shul, but the power of being part of that tzibur is something that can give you the strength, give you the chizuk, give you the, you know, connections to be able to survive all of the challenges, trials, and tribulations of life and stay connected to each other. Rabbi Gross.
First of all, you know, Rabbi Fox just did a great job. So that was it. I definitely agree with everything that you said. I guess I'm going to just try to really limit it by adding a detail to the issue that Rabbi Goldstein mentioned, in particular, people may be somewhat not that excited about coming back to school, but really it's a message for everybody. I think what we have to know, and I think that to me this is I'm not going to say the most important message, I'm not the one to say that, but a very important message, is to know how important you are. A shul is only a shul because people come to daven. A shul is only a shul, a community is made up of the individuals. So when you come to shul, don't just think about whether you're coming for yourself, which you are coming for yourself, because the Kedusha of shul, the Kedusha of Tefillah B'Tziva, the Kedusha of Amen Yishmeh Rabba, all that is critically important, and you cannot have that at home. But you know what? When you come to shul, you're feeding off the energy of the person next to you, and the person next to you is feeding off of your energy, and together we make that tzibur. So to realize that you're part of something bigger than yourself, and one of the difficulties, whether we realize it or not, some of us more than others, of not being a shul, is that fragmentation that we're trying so hard to overcome over this time period, but of being separated and dealing with Yiddishkeit and with life as an individual. And when you come to shul and you daven, you create the community. So don't underestimate the importance of your own presence in shul to everybody, because one of the things we have to think about is what would to happen if everybody were to have the negative attitude that we have. That would be the end of shul, the end of communal life. And by the way, this is going on out there in other parts of the Jewish spectrum. They're not getting together anymore because they figured out they can all do it on Zoom. And like someone wrote over here, Zoom was not meant to be the perfect situation, was a stopgap, 100%. But for some people, that has become the new normal. We have to know that for us, the normal thing is to be a community. The normal thing is to be a tzibur. The normal thing is when 10 people get together, that's when you have Shechina, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have the relationship, you have the davening that's together. So that when you come to shul, you need to know you're doing it for yourself, but you're also making an incredible contribution to the entire community. And when your shul does it, the other shul does it. So we feed off each other within our own shuls, and the shuls in our community feed off each other as well and become stronger because of it. And that all happens because individuals walk out of their homes and come to shul.
Shukav, so beautiful. So, yeah, all right, Fox, where it goes. Thank you so much for taking the time. Definitely a lot to chew on, a lot to think about as we all come back. I'm going to run to a 9:30 Maariv personally in 2 minutes.
Okay, so thanks. This worked. We got you back to shul. Yeah.
Exactly.
You were going to daven at home, but now you heard Rabbi Gross's speech.
Exactly. Put on my shoes and head out the door. Easier when it's not 5 below outside.
Absolutely.
So thanks everyone for coming. Shukach, and everyone be well. Laila Tov.
Thanks for everyone coming. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you very much.